Welcome. This is RAM Radio. RAM stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. The host of RAM Radio is Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word, the Biblical Alternative. Using the Bible as his guide, Pastor John plans to equip the African-American Christian community with the tools that make the scriptures become clear for practical living and protection from the false teaching. Using the discipline of apologetics will open the eyes of the student of the Word to see God's absolute truth and the original intent of the scriptures. RAM Radio will challenge what you were taught about the Bible as well as your way of thinking and living in this world. God demands more from those who say, "I believe." Grab your Bible and pen and paper. Let's begin our study. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you very much, Mark Ramsey. Thank you for joining us tonight for RAM Radio, the webcast, the Biblical Alternative, on this March the 5th, 2009. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone that asks us to give an account of the hope that is in us, yet with gentleness and with reverence." Welcome to RAM Radio, the webcast. Here live from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California. So glad that you can join me on my website today. You know, we live in a world of professing Christians, but too many of you have been asking me why. Pastor John, how could pastors do that? How can they be caught with underage children? How can they be swindling the money? Come on, you know the answer to that. In a world of professing Christians, the true believer must always classify themselves as those who are justified in righteousness by their position in Christ. Now, this is what I call a divine absolutism, and it must be affirmed by the standard of the Word of God alone. Into the Word, RAM Radio, the Biblical Alternative, speaks to those all the time. This ministry, as any other true Christian ministry, and there's very few of them out there, must always look to God's Word as the highest standard that directs our lives. I can't attempt to minister to others unless I define for myself whether I like it or not, whether I understand everything or not, whether I understand God conclusively, whether I understand Him and what He's saying. It has absolutely nothing to do with it as I remain in the Word. Thank you for joining me. Mark Ramsey's in the studio with me tonight. Mark, good to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Mark, if you have my email address while I go and get my beverage, why don't you give that for the people?
If you want to write to Pastor John, if you want to have him answer a question that's been bothering you or something that you've heard in one of your own church services, it's intotheword1@ca.rr.com. intotheword1@ca.rr.com. Pastor John is willing to take all your questions, all your comments, all the things you've ever wanted to say to a pastor. You can write him at that email address, intotheword1@ca.rr.com. Even if you are tremendously upset by some of the things you've read on the page, or you're completely confused by some of the things you've heard on the page, you should write him at intotheword1@ca.rr.com. intotheword1@ca.rr.com. It takes a diligent student of the Word to study the things on Pastor John's page because they are very intricate. And as you can tell when you read the page, Pastor John writes a lot, which means he talks a lot. So if he's talking a lot, you might feel like you're in a rainstorm and everything is coming down so hard that you can't get everything the first time around. So if you're reading through one of his pages, yes, he writes a lot and he talks a lot. So you might have to listen to things over and over a couple of times. Then you can ask the question and maybe you can call him sometimes or at least write and ask him the question. Then he can dissect it down for you and help you, not tell you, but help you come to what the Word of God is saying. And then you can tell him one day, you know, "I finally got the point because God and I had a good conversation one night and I read the Bible and I finally get it, Pastor John. Thank you very much."
And that's the way you do. That's the way you do your biblical Christianity, Mark. You do it on your own. That phone call was Bob Kling calling, and won't be able to make it. He just got out of surgery.
Right.
And so he cuts on people. And so I gave him a night off. I said, nah. He said, I could be there in 45 minutes. I said, no, because you got to scrub down and then you got to get here. That's okay. We miss you, Bob. And he'll be listening in to the webcast himself. You know, we're always asking questions. That is, a lot of people that I know are constantly asking questions about how could this person be a pastor? How could these people support these people? How could these people believe these things? I've been getting some emails from people looking at videos, Mark, of people dancing the Beyonce song in the church.
Right.
And other scandalous things and making a joke out of it. And people are just living like there are no biblical absolutes and standards. Well, you know, I thought about the same old message that I'm presenting. And it's like this. I'm kind of getting off the beaten path a little bit. I was at this college today, and I had to go for a staff meeting. I have to write some SLOs. And I saw a couple of young African-American male students that I teach in the classroom.
Right.
And they want me to help them with their studies and so that they can get better grades. And I told them, I said, guys, it's time for you to get serious about your education. It's time for you to stop chasing the gals and start chasing these books, chasing these ideas, chasing these themes, thinking about your life. How are you going to get better? Had a real serious talk with them. Some of their friends came around. I started talking with them also, letting them know that life was serious and too serious to be fooling around. He's okay. Too serious to be fooling around with things and messing up their lives. Well, when I think of Christians, Christians are doing the same thing. Dark days lie ahead for the so-called Christian. And in order for us to become the kind of Christian that is going to be well-versed in the world that they live in, you have to realize what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. I'd like everybody to go there with me in their Bibles. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to spend a little time there going over this verse, and I'm going to explain to you that, you know, that most of these guys that are running these churches, running these ministries on television, behind pulpits, lecterns, saying and doing a lot of things are not Christians at all. That, number one, they've never come in contact with God, and it's nothing but a money grab. If you check out my website, and I hope that some of you do, you will see something very, very interesting there. You will see a picture. As a matter of fact, you're going to see Mark Ramsey sitting there and a lot of other people. We were in someone's backyard having church. We were having church that day. And I have quite a long paragraph under that picture telling you that's what you need to do. I admonish you to stop giving your money to these huge building programs, building a life for these preachers that are not concerned about God and His Word in any way, and to chill out and just to live your Christianity. And I think that that's what you ought to do. But let's look at what a false prophet would do. Peter says, false prophets also arose amongst the people, just as there will also be false teachers amongst you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Now, there's an awful lot in this verse, and what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk to you people about this verse, talk you through the verse, and so that you can stop asking the questions, why? What bothers me is not the false prophets. What bothers me, Mark, is that the people asking why and how and when and where and what. I mean, just reading this verse again. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as Peter says. The Apostle Peter says this. There will also be false teachers amongst you. Now, without even going into this verse or without even mentioning any preacher, any false teacher, I'd like to ask this question. Do any of you people out there listening to me know someone that is teaching the Bible false? If you find out or discover that they're teaching false things about the scripture, why would you listen to them? Why would you give them the title pastor? Why would you condone them as a Christian? Why would you ask me to pray for them? Because God is going to change them. God is not going to change anything or anyone. That is not what he's going to do. But here we are thinking that these people can repent and become exonerated in some kind of way. These people cannot become that. The end of the verse tells you why. They are bringing swift destruction among themselves. Okay, upon themselves. Destruction is coming their way. No repentance is coming. There is not one place in the New Testament or the Old Testament where a false prophet or a false teacher ever repented and got right with God. Nor is it going to happen here.
So they were crooked through and through.
They are crooked. Now, the body of Christ knows the real one from the false one. Now, God's going to judge each teacher, including myself, based upon who I am and what I've done and what I've taught about the Word of God. I was thinking tonight before I came in the studio that there's a lot of things that I have difficulty personally with about what the Scripture says about living. And one of them was love. Mark Ramsey got here to the studio, didn't know, and hugged me real good and real long and real tight.
That's right.
And the heartburn that I felt disappeared because I'm saying, well, what about love? Now, you know what? It's so easy for me out there to go and find me a wife and said, okay, I want a wife. But no, I'm fearful of that because they're going to stop loving you the minute they stop getting what they not getting. See,
right.
I don't want that. No, I don't want that. I would wait on a Mark Ramsey or Bob Klink to get here and receive some genuine love from some brothers than fool around with these false so-called Christian sisters. And ladies, you got to take that the way it is, because some of you are married to your husbands and you won't even love them. Asking and wondering, why is your husband going out playing on you? And my God, the man is right there. He needs you to be jumping. Some of you need to turn off this computer right now and go
and jump your husband.
And jump him tonight. You need to jump him tonight.
No dinner, just jump your husband.
No dinner, just jump him. Just jump him. See, y'all think I'm tripping. No, wait a minute. When I look at chapter 2, verse 1, what I just read, Peter described false teachers in detail in this chapter. Not only in this verse, but in this whole chapter. He describes them in detail. Why? So that you Christians would always recognize the characteristics and the methods of these pimps. I want to pause, and I'm going to take my time, because I want them, Mark, to get this.
Yes.
You know, I'm tired. Oh, and man, y'all blogging each other, and y'all, oh, what about this? And oh, did you hear what he said? And look what Tony Evans is saying. And look at what Creflo said. And look, wait a minute. Check out their characteristics and their methods. The greatest sin of Christ's rejectors and the most damning work of Satan is misrepresentation of the truth and its consequent deception. That is the greatest sin. That is why the false teacher is there. I want to repeat that. The greatest sin of the Christ rejectors, because that's what a false teacher is. He or she, if she's teaching some females in a Bible study, are Christ rejectors. Now, they're not going to tell you that. That's how they suck you into their system or their pattern. They're Christ rejectors. I was talking with one of my students in the college, and she said that her mother was trying to get her all hooked up into Scientology. And the young lady said that she had to get out of that, run from that, and said that her mother was following insanity. Right. See, you got to follow L. Ron Hubbard when you haven't followed Christ. Now, Hubbard is dead. And there's no question to me where he's going to spend eternity. Some of y'all like to look at Mission Impossible. What's that boy's name? Tom Cruise, right?
Right.
He's a Scientologist. Some of you want to look at John Travolta, right? You love him, don't you? He's a Scientologist. And you're looking at all these people, all these famous people, Hollywood, go down there, give all those donations to all that false religion. When these people die, there's no eternal salvation for them.
We could put Will Smith in that group, too.
Smith is a Scientologist.
He hangs around with them, too.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? I want to find a group of people that's hanging out with some Christ lovers, not Christ rejectors. Nothing is more wicked than for someone to claim to speak for God to the salvation of souls. That's a Scientology, Jehovah's Witnesses, some Seventh-day Adventists, some. Not all of them, because you got some Adventists, they just tripped on the day that they worship. Go ahead on. Do you love Christ? Are you following Christ? That's how I dissected. Some Catholics, you know, everybody go, well, if they marry worshipers, I've already told you. Last week, I remember last week's webcast, we were listening to an archbishop of the Catholic Church. And you have to weigh whether that man is saved. No, forget that. Leave it alone. Figure out whether you saved. Nothing is more wicked than for someone to claim to speak for God to the salvation of souls when in reality he speaks for Satan to the damnation of that very soul. And you know what? I want to share with you something. That is what a lot of people are doing today. Now, if you really want to know how they sound, you have to go to Jeremiah chapter 23. I've been reading from that particular chapter for years in the Bible, and I think that Jeremiah 23 really says it well. If you guys got your Bibles there, this is a time for you to have Bible study with me, so go to Jeremiah chapter 23. I think we need to go back to Bible study like we had it in the old days. It says, "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord." It says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who are tending my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not attended to them. Behold, I am about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord." See, God is threatening, and I believe that the threat is a true threat that's going to come as we look at, we're going to go to this verse later on, but I thought about it in my pre-study. When you go to Jude verse 4, it says, "For certain persons have crept in." Talking about crept into the church. You remember when I preached that.
I was thinking that.
When
the rat came in.
Yeah, when the rat came in the church.
The literal rat.
They have crept in unnoticed, those who are long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. In other words, God had them marked for it. They had to creep in and try to pimp you. They were destined to be a pimp on their way to hell. Why are you concerned about whether they're going to hell? They crept in with that ungodly persons who turned the grace of our God into licentiousness, that is, license, and deny our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ. That's a false teacher. So when I see some of you Christians saying, "What's going on?" You need to start laughing. This young man, he goes to the college. He says he loves God. I really like talking with him because he got a serious heart. Just about 20, 21 years old. Serious can be. We're talking about the pimps at the college, and we both, Mark, just start laughing about what the pimps are doing. We aren't going around trying to bemoan the fact and hold hands and pray for these pimps.
Right.
I mean, we laugh and say, "Man, don't they know they're going to hell? Damned for destruction." I've already read that to you in the Peter text as well as Jude verse 4. Certain persons crept in. God has a day marked for them where they're going to wish they never came into the church. And so you have to realize that this is happening. I'll give you another scripture. Often I quote it, Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Very well-known text. I've been quoting when I was on the radio. I've been quoting them on these webcasts over and over and over. But it appears that the church just isn't getting it. Paul says, "Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions." I'm not the one that's causing dissensions. If you think I'm the one causing dissensions, you have been under the influence of a false teacher. I teach Bible. Bible never sounds good to people that hate God. They're Christ dissenters. They hate Christ, but they act like they love Christ because they don't want to go to hell. They know that they deny Christ. Watch those that cause dissensions and hindrances. I ain't got some of these preachers got the people hip hopping and boogieing in the church. I had to tell one brother in my Bible study last night about that, and he said, "Well, I used to